This is the Photography Podcast on photography.ca, episode number 72, all about exposure compensation. Hey there, photo lovers and fellow photographers, and welcome to the 72nd Photography Podcast on photography.ca. My name is Marco, and as always, we're coming to you from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. For today's show, we're going to talk a little bit about exposure compensation, and it's a suggestion from our bulletin board member, Iguanasan. But before we do, as always, I'd like to thank people for their comment on our last podcast, number 71, where we talked about portable flash. Quite a few people really enjoyed that podcast. We got a lot of comments, and we got some from Najip, Jack Label, Jabber, Tom Restis, and I got a bunch of comments via email as well. What I want to say is I've been pretty lazy lately, and when people leave comments, I have not been adding their names into the show notes for the past bunch of podcasts. Sorry about that. And I'm going to start actually adding the names of people that left comments in the next podcast. You know, so if you have a website or something like that and you've left a comment, there will be a link that goes to it. So it might help you out. My way of saying thanks and sorry for being so lazy. All right, now that that's over, let's just get right into today's topic. And I don't think this is going to be a long podcast, actually, because although the term exposure compensation may frighten people, especially newer people to photography, it's a seriously easy concept to understand and use, and I use it all the time. So, you know, after I read the question, I'm just going to tell you all about it in a few minutes, and then this podcast might be done. So here goes. Podcast suggestion, exposure compensation. Forgive me if you've already covered this. I've listened to all the podcasts, and I did a search of the site, but I cannot find it anywhere. I'm going to delve back into my camera manual, but I thought it would be a good topic for a podcast. Just what the heck is exposure compensation, and why do I want to use it? Would it make sense to simply bump up or down the ISO, exposure, or shutter speed to make an exposure adjustment that is the exposure trinity? Why do I want to use exposure compensation? And that question comes courtesy of Iguanasan, and thanks so much for asking it. So again, this is a really easy concept, but here goes. So all exposure compensation is, or means, is that it allows you to quickly deviate from the camera's meter's exposure. So whenever you look through your camera, your digital SLR, you have a meter, and whatever mode you're on, your meter is going to give you an exposure. So let's just say it's F8 at 125, and let's say after you take the shot at F8 125, the shot doesn't come out as you saw it. It's either too light or too dark. By using exposure compensation, you can simply make your shot brighter or darker in various increments. A common one is 1/3 of a stop. So again, you take a shot, your camera gives you a reading, and it's too dark. You want to add some exposure compensation. So by rotating a dial, at least on the camera I have, and likely on many cameras, it's a simple adjustment. If the shot is too dark, you add exposure. If the shot is too bright, you reduce exposure. So turn it toward the plus if it's too dark, and turn it toward the minus if it's too bright. That's it. It's that friggin' simple. So again, this trinity of ISO, shutter speed, and aperture, that is going to determine the overall exposure. But what Iguanasan suggests in his question is that why use exposure compensation? Just fiddle with the ISO, or fiddle with the shutter speed, or fiddle with the aperture. And those are all valid. You can do all the fiddling you want. The beauty of exposure compensation is that it allows you to fiddle fast. You get to fiddle fast with exposure compensation. And I use it all the time when I'm shooting in modes like aperture priority and shutter priority. Some people might also use it on program mode. I never use program mode, ever, because there's no thought involved. The camera chooses the aperture, the camera chooses the shutter speed, and there's no creativity there whatsoever. So I never shoot on that mode, and I highly recommend that no one ever shoots on that mode as well. The best modes to shoot on are manual mode and aperture mode or shutter mode, which means in aperture mode or aperture priority, you are choosing the aperture and the camera chooses the shutter speed. In shutter priority, you choose the shutter and the camera chooses the corresponding aperture. And these are the two modes that I personally use exposure compensation very, very, very frequently. And again, the reason I use it is because it's fast. It's just one dial. So if you are intensely looking through your viewfinder and you're trying to shoot whatever it is, a person, an animal, what have you, if you have to start fiddling with the ISO or fiddling with the shutter or aperture, it may take that extra second or millisecond and you might lose the shot. By using exposure compensation, it's super, super fast. Another advantage of exposure compensation is there's less fiddling with the side effects of making a decision. So as we know, when we choose an ISO or film speed or sensor speed, what have you, the higher you go, the more grain and or noise you're going to introduce into your photo. So if your shot is too dark, let's say, and you want to brighten up the shot, well, you could turn your ISO from 400 to 800 to 1600, and that might likely compensate for your exposure. What it's also going to do is it's also going to introduce grain and or noise if you go too high. So fiddling with your ISO is not going to be the first choice when you need to increase your exposure or decrease your exposure. Likewise, again, let's say you're choosing a specific aperture, and let's say that aperture is f16 or f22, which means it's a really, really, really small hole and you're going to have a longer exposure. But if that's the aperture you want in order to get the depth of field that you want, by mucking with that depth of field, by changing that aperture up or down, you are deviating from your original aperture choice. And you're sacrificing perhaps the greatest creative choice you have when choosing an exposure, which is the aperture. Exposure compensation usually works on the shutter speed. It has to work with something, right? Because the camera's going to choose an exposure. If you're going to make it darker or lighter, something's got to give. The only way the shot can be lighter or darker is if you fiddle with the ISO, if you fiddle with the aperture, or if you fiddle with the shutter speed. That's the only way. There's only three options. As far as I know, exposure compensation plays with the shutter speed, which in my opinion is the correct one to play with, because unless you're going for a specific movement effect, your shutter is likely to be the least important of the three. Again, unless it's a specific movement effect. So by using exposure compensation, you just get to change your exposure really, really fast in small increments, and you could see the effect right away. So I'm actually in the market for a new camera, and I'll likely be picking one up in the next few months. But currently, I'm still using the 30D. And the 30D, it's just beautiful. When you turn it on, there's like two modes to turn it on. There's one mode with a line and one mode without the line. When you turn it on to the mode with the line and you use it on aperture priority or shutter priority, again, you look through the viewfinder and you shoot. The dial that's right near that on or off button, it's a big round dial on the back of the camera. If it's too dark, I just add some exposure. And if it's too bright, I just reduce the exposure. And I could reduce it by a little or by a lot. I can take a few shots. I can see the effects right away. Again, one of the beauties of shooting with a digital camera is the instant feedback. And just try it. You'll be amazed by how fast and efficient you can be by using exposure compensation versus going into the menus and fiddling. Again, it's that extra millisecond or 1 second that can make the difference between getting a shot and losing a shot. Will you ever use exposure compensation on manual mode? No, you will never ever use exposure compensation on manual mode because you're already doing all the hard work in manual mode. And exposure compensation likely won't even work or be offered on your camera in manual mode. Again, in manual mode, you're choosing an aperture and then you're moving the shutter speed usually to get the correct exposure. So you know, you're just moving the same dial. You know, the dial that you use for exposure compensation and the dial that you use when you're metering manually is likely going to be the same dial. So it's only useful in program modes. And again, the only modes that I use are aperture priority and shutter priority. One key thing to be aware of is that if once you set exposure compensation, your camera may remember that exposure compensation the very next shot. So you kind of have to remember to take it off. Now, when we shoot digitally, we're often looking at our results occasionally, so we'll quickly notice if the shot is too dark or too light, but likely the camera will remember your previous setting. So remember to take it off after you finished using it. I've made this mistake a number of times myself, so I'm keenly aware of it, and you should be too. And the only other thing that I have to mention is that flash exposure compensation is totally different, and yet it works in the same way. So the flash exposure compensation is only going to work on your flash. So let's just talk about the flash that comes with the camera, for instance, the one that's built in. You know, again, there'll usually be a button for the flash exposure compensation. So the flash, as we mentioned in our last podcast, will only light the foreground subject. So let's just say you're taking a picture of that man in the forest again. Your flash will light the man in the forest. If the man is too bright, just reduce the flash exposure compensation. And if the man is too dark, just increase the flash exposure compensation. So it does the same thing, but it's a different button, and I just wanted you to be aware of that. And you know what? I think I got it covered. I think that's it. I don't think it's any more complex than that. If by chance I've left something out, please let me know. But it's something that I use all the time. It's something that I recommend other people use. And it's something that I recommend people be aware of that they've used so that they could shut it off when they're not using it again. There's still another couple of weeks left for our September assignment, which is New Beginnings. We've already gotten some really cool shots. I put up one of my own of a new beginning of a monster bruise that I got a couple of weeks back playing a paintball, which was great fun. So I encourage people to get creative and, you know, you still got a couple of weeks left. Think about something that may be a new beginning and show your creative strength. Post something really cool. Love to get new shots. Love to see new members on the board. If you've been lurking and you want to join, I encourage you to join. We're a friendly bunch. More and more members are joining, and it makes me nothing but happy. I'll share the same knowledge over and over and over again. There's always new people joining. I always learn from new members, so please join. We're a friendly bunch. I'd like to connect more and more with people, actually, and there's various ways to connect. I actually just set up, like, a couple of days ago, a fan page for photography.ca. So if you're on Facebook, it would make me really, really happy if you joined our fan page. And I'm going to put a link in the show notes. And I've also been tweeting on Twitter a little bit. And you can find me on Twitter, Marko Kulik. That's M-A-R-K-O with a space, K-U-L-I-K. If you search for that name and follow me, I will follow you back. And if by miracle I forget to, if you just email me photography.ca@gmail.com or just PM me from the forum, send me a private message, I will follow you. I will follow anyone that follows me, especially if they've heard it on this podcast. And as long as you aren't a spammer, I will follow you back. When I get time, I'll check out some links. I'm into developing the photography.ca community, of course, but I'm also a part of other communities. And I love to look at people's links on Flickr, on Twitter, I'll look at them on Facebook, on your own websites. I'm only limited by my need to sleep and drink the occasional beer, but I practically live online. So, of course, you know, if I haven't checked out something that you'd like me to check out for any reason, send me a private message, send me an email, follow me on Twitter, direct message me on Twitter, and I'll check out your stuff as well. I really appreciate the time that people spend on photography.ca. And I spend plenty of time outside photography.ca, and it's my pleasure to join in other communities as well. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. We already have another couple of topics picked out for future podcasts. But as always, if you have good suggestions, just like Iguana-san did, just send me a private message in the forum. If you're a member, send me an email, photography.ca@gmail.com. If you follow me on Twitter, send me messages that way. Just send me messages any old way you want. And it's so appreciated. And I'll do my best to cover just as many topics as we can. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. Fall's on its way, unfortunately. But of course, that brings new photographic opportunities. So just get out there and keep on shooting. Bye for now, everyone.